It's podcast time on XFM. The breakfast show best bits are in. Lots of chat and interviews and less bits with Matt Dyson. Breakfast XFM. It's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello, how are you? And welcome to podcast number what, Matt Dyson?
56.
56. Name me 56 things which have got to 56.
The Queen.
Yes. In at one. 55 more.
Okay. Well, come back to me.
No.
Another thing.
Yeah.
56. Well, my dad turned 56 a couple of years ago.
Great, there you go. That's the Queen and your dad. And just 54 more now.
Okay. What's that, Steve?
My dad.
Steve's dad. Yeah. Steve's dad as well. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Your dad?
Yes, dad, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Dave's
dad, Andy Masterman.
51 more things now, please.
He might be a bit younger
51
than I,
more things.
Come back to me at the end of the podcast.
No.
Producer Simon's dad.
Yes, yes. Just 50 more things now.
Our boss Andy's dad.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, 49 things now.
Royston, the odd job man, his dad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 48 more things now, please. Just 48 to go.
Yes, we are XFM. Wallace.
I'm back. I'm amazed I'm back. Oh, the trouble I had getting here. The trouble I had getting here.
And the stress you put me through yesterday.
The stress, the trouble.
Oof.
Goodness me. I was away. I was on the other side of the world. Not really supposed to say where I went. It's for a thing. It's just like a secret thing. Mm. All I'll say is, I went of my own accord.
Is that it?
That's not a bad clue if you think about it. No, I went of my own accord. Nothing. That does not get... Neither of you get that.
Accordion?
Oh, for goodness sakes. Anyway, I went to this place.
Accordions.
And I was trying to get back. It's traditionally what you do, isn't it? You get a return flight.
Yeah.
I'm waiting at the airport. I'm there. I'm ready to go. Ready to rock. I got there early. First time in years I've been to the airport very early. Waiting. Keen. Trying to get back to the XFM breakfast show. With my friends and colleagues. And then the man just went, regret to inform you, the scheduled flight is cancelled. And there was a noise like you've never heard. Just outrage, indignation, not from me. Mm. I was playing it cool. I thought it'll be fine. This is an international airline. I'm at an international airport. There'll be a flight a bit later on. It'll be all right. It'll be fine. And I went up to the man. I said, you're having a bad day. Don't worry. I just want to know. I'll leave you alone. I just want to know. What is the flight a bit later on tonight? Something like that. And he said, it's Wednesday. Wednesday. It's like a 3-day gap between. So I'm thinking, what am I going to do? So I got stuck. I got stuck out there. Was shunted around, had to get my bags off the plane again, go through customs again, go through immigration again, stand outside waiting for a series of tiny minibuses to take me to goodness knows where, some hotel in the countryside. I made a new friend, though.
Right.
I basically spent 24 hours with a disgruntled burglar alarm salesman from Sierra Leone called Moses Brown.
Oh,
and it was me and Moses Brown. We were just hanging out. We went to this hotel. Just me and Moses Brown. It sounds like one of those sort of like a swing song.
Yeah.
Like a Sinatra song. So me and the disgruntled burglar alarm salesman from Sierra Leone, Moses Brown, we got on like a house on fire.
Yeah.
I've got to bring him in at some point.
Why was he? Was he just annoyed about the flights? You
know? We got chatting, me and Moses Brown.
Yeah.
He thought it was a conspiracy to do with the Olympics. And I was going, I'm sure they were aware that the Olympics were ending. He's going, no way. They wouldn't know. They wouldn't have prepared for it. They used our plane to fly the American Olympic team home. Sounds like I was in America. I wasn't even in America. None of this made sense. But, you know, I was a bit worried about Moses Brown. So I had to just keep on kind of going, yes, that's a good point. That could have happened. So finally, Matt, I get home yesterday. Managed to get home just after midday. I think I'll get my head down for an hour. I'm supposed to go to Camden Dingwalls to interview Noel Gallagher and then introduce him on stage. You know, it's quite a good thing to do. But I'd had no sleep, pretty much no sleep for days, it feels like. So I thought, I'll just get an hour's kip. I won't bother telling Dave I'm back in the country. He'll work it. It'll be absolutely fine. He's not going to panic about this in any way. So
no.
I get my head down and I set my my Japanese alarm clock app, which I downloaded when we were in Benicassim. I've still got faith in this thing because it woke me up once. It didn't wake me up, of course. It didn't wake me up. So I wake up at 4:15, Dave, and I have to get to Camden Dingwalls by 4:15. I was in the shower with the phone, ordering a taxi. Boom. What time did I get there? 12 minutes past four.
You did very well indeed.
XFM.
Colin Farrell's here. Hello, Colin.
Hello, lads.
That was a great moment just before. Just, we weren't expecting you to walk in, and suddenly the door opens, and it's Hollywood A-lister Colin Farrell.
It's not often we wish we were television, but it might have been that very moment.
It could have been that moment there. Welcome along to the XFM Breakfast Show.
Thanks for having me, lads.
It's great to have you here. Total Recall comes out very shortly, 29th of August. I went to see it yesterday, Colin. I loved it.
Oh, cool.
Guns, action, you.
All your favourite things.
All
your
those
three
things.
Favourite things, man.
The three
just short
things.
Of a partridge in a pear tree, but then again, it'd be the wrong season for that as well.
It would, yeah. Yeah, no, if you look at my bedroom, it's just posters of guns and posters of you. it's actually a little bit disconcerting.
It reads well, you like, can always text like me your address and I'll pop over later tonight after Jonathan Ross, okay, I promise.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So Total Recall, obviously, it's a remake of the 1990 film, I think it was. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
I guess some people will be thinking, why would you remake it? But then you go and you see it and you see the different take on it and the way it's been done, and it's a whole new, there are nods, of course, to the original, but it's a whole new thing.
Yeah, it did feel like that. And, you know, when I heard they were remaking it, I was skeptical because I knew the original was a very popular film and I liked it myself, but when I read the remake, the script, it felt very unique. It felt like there was a big tonal change between the first and the second one.
Yeah, it's sort of grittier and...
it's grittier. There's not, you know, the first one is kind of a product of the era as well as the directorial style of the guy who made the first one, who also made RoboCop and Starship Troopers and Showgirls, and he was kind of, I mean all this in a really good way, he's a very crass kind of filmmaker who had a wonderfully absurd sense of humour, and this one is played straighter.
Yeah, it's less colourful.
It's less camp. That's not necessarily a good or bad thing, it just is.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You should do more camp films.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
In fact, you should just remake all Arnie films from now on.
That's what I was thinking. The only way to be original doing remakes is if I did that very thing and decided I'm only going to do remakes.
Kindergarten Colin.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Twins.
Yes. Oh, that would be wonderful. It is a great remake. It's big and it's such a big film as well.
It's a huge film, yeah. And no, from start to finish, it was a 5-month shoot, and it was, as you said yourself, the most obvious aspect of the whole process was the physical aspect. Yeah, it was fairly.
You do a lot of sliding, don't you?
I do a lot of sliding. I do a lot of grinding. Yeah. I do a lot of. Yes. Shooting, punching, hitting, jumping, falling.
And in the film.
I say about 7 words, yes. And then I went to shoot.
Yeah.
That was only the breakfast.
But, you know, it's all action. You are doing all these... I guess you had to do quite a few stunts yourself.
Yeah, as much as... Yeah, did most. And then the stuntman, you know, did a lot of the stunts that I did with greater grace.
I see, all right.
But I did as many as I could.
It's a combination of you and a stuntman. That's what's happening there.
My eyebrows, the rest is him.
Yeah. Let's test your Total Recall. What was his name, this guy here? This guy we just introduced you to.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man.
Yeah, good. Carry what about on. That guy over there?
Yeah, man. Morning.
What about the work experience?
What's up?
Yeah. It's great. It's faultless. It's genius. Faultless. And what is... What is going to be...
What's my name, man? Are you kidding me?
He's got no what's idea.
He has no Total Recall. The irony of it all.
You're very clean living these days, so your memory should be faultless, though.
What? Did somebody just say something?
He doesn't even remember the question.
What was that?
What's next for you after Total Recall?
I'm not having deja vu. What's next? I believe we're running into another studio. Who am I talking to next, Arnie? You mean in the bigger picture?
I mean career-wise.
I'm going back to Los Angeles to get into bed with my two sons and wrestle with them. And then I've got, you know, 2 months off, and then I'll go back to work on a thing called Saving Mr. Banks.
Cancel
Tom Hanks
it. Cancel it.
Emma Thompson. Okay.
Cancel it. Forget it.
Now.
I know why you're doing that. Yes. Why are you doing that?
I have no idea.
Cancel it.
It's
now.
A Chiswick exclusive.
I'll tell you why you cancel it, because we're going to play Snap My Pitch Up.
Snap it.
My Pitch Up.
Colin. What we do is we look after our A-list guests, not just in terms of coffees, not just in terms of sandwiches, if that is their want.
Warmth.
Warmth, all that kind of stuff, yeah. A roof over your head. Also in terms of their career. So this morning we asked the listeners, what should Colin do next? They pitched their ideas for you. Contractually, this is all fine. We talked to your agents.
Excellent.
They said, yeah, you'll do whatever. It's
brilliant.
Cool. So, Matt Dyson, what's the first pitch for Colin Farrell?
Okay. Colin Farrell sings a carol in golfing apparel.
Which I like it. Can I come back to it?
Yeah. You're on a mission to combine your love of Christmas songs with extorting money for charity from cash-rich golfers on courses all over the world.
You in?
Three words, surefire winner. Yes.
Colin Farrell's got you over a barrel. Maybe he knows your secret. Maybe you owe him money.
I feel like I was creatively repeating myself with that one.
Why would that be?
Carry on.
Either way, Colin Farrell's got you over a barrel. Much of the budget for this live late-night ITV4 vehicle will go on the barrel as a baying mob chants your name while film star Farrell straps you down in order that he may get you over this literal and metaphorical barrel. What then? Nothing. He'll simply stare soulfully at you until you either spill all or pay up, because Colin Farrell has got you over a barrel.
I think it's actually genius.
Yeah?
I think the golfing experience before Watershed, yeah. Colin Farrell has you over a barrel after Watershed.
Yeah.
I like to make money twice a day.
There you go, that's good. Well, it sounds like he's in for all these. There were dozens and dozens. There was Feral Farrell, of course, where Colin Farrell sleeps in a bin and forages for food in local school dumpsters, running away from cars. That's not
No, nothing like that.
No. All right, good. Well, we'll get the contracts drawn up. Total Recall opens 29th of August. We beseech thee, go and see it. Colin, we'll leave the last word with you. What will that word be?
What was that? Sorry.
Nothing. Never
Excellent.
Mind.
Excellent. Carry on.
XFM. Always warm up. Always warm up if you're thinking of playing football. That's just some advice that I've been giving to Matt and Dave. Yeah. I think it's nice, it's nice to tell you about some of the things we talk about off air, including advice, because it can be handy.
Yeah.
It can be handy.
Well, and nice. Sorry, Matt, go on.
Go on. Look at this chemistry, go on.
It's not cool. It's not cool to not warm up.
It's not cool. You're not cool not warming up.
I'll be all right. I'll just wing it. I'll just go out there. I'll be fine.
No, it's not cool.
Stretch.
Always just limber up, a few stretches, afterwards. I call that a cool down. So warm up, then cool down. That's what I've been doing. Also, when Dave wasn't here, Dave, this is, we're talking about rap battles, me and Matt.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. And, I mean, do they still happen? When a rap battle breaks out?
Yeah. Yeah, familiar with it.
Because I get alerts. I'll get a text, and I'll say to my wife, I'll just go, quickly, there's a rap battle happening.
Flash mobs, aren't they?
Yeah. Just all over the place.
Is that an app, or...?
There's a rap app, yeah. There's a rap app.
That's incredible.
Just immediately jump in the cab, get down to the high street, outside Superdrug or whatever.
Down some lyrics, on a piece of paper.
But you've got to be quick, haven't you?
I've missed every single rap battle. I think it might just be someone texting me locations, and I just go, expecting the rap battle, I've made my notes, always topical. They call me the topical lyricist.
Yeah.
And I turn up with my thoughts, I bring fresh meat here with me.
That's me. Hi, I'm like his hype man. I just emphasize certain words that he says.
He just repeats them after me. It's quite nice, isn't it? What was the last rap battle we went to, Matt? Do you remember?
It was in Chiswick, wasn't it?
That's right.
It took
so long to get there because of the phasing.
I was like running late, so I had to meet you. I had to catch up with you. But luckily, we were in sync. We nailed it.
We totally did. But by the time...
We nailed it.
He was trying to make it rhyme. But by the time I'd done my warm-up, Dave, it was time to do the cool-down, and we had to go away again. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that actually, if any of that were true?
We live to rhyme another day.
Yeah. We live to rhyme another day.
XFM.
It's time for me to show you my business.
Yes. Sticking with that.
That's right. Well, I don't know.
I think we should.
I went with it, didn't I?
No one else is saying it.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes that's not a good thing, though, is it? It's the Showbiz Update, everybody. I go through the papers early, so you don't have to. I distill the important stories, just the facts.
Yeah.
Arm you, ready for the day, with social ammunition that you can use at your water coolers or workplace points of interest.
Yeah.
Anything like that.
Coffee machines.
Absolutely. Name a few more.
Maybe in the toilet when you're washing your hands with a coffee.
Don't go up to people and say these, you know. Here's the first showbiz story. The winner of this year's Big Brother.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a story in itself. There was a Big Brother this year.
Who knew?
A man named Luke has vowed, and that's the word they use, vowed to spend part of his £50,000 winnings on his gentleman's agreements. Now, it turns out Luke was a lady, now he's a gentleman.
To be a lady, yeah.
And it seems that he wants just a really lovely, to really invest very heavily in that. See, top quality we're talking here. Talking top quality.
Oh.
So that's what's happening. Your reaction.
Thanks for telling us that.
Again, that's why you probably shouldn't go into the toilets and just start.
Yeah, definitely don't start, like that.
Start chats. Jean-Claude Van Damme. Oh, man. Just those four syllables. Yeah. Just immediately ears prick up.
What's he done this time?
Well, he's only gone and claimed that Kylie Minogue and him enjoyed, quote, a sweet kiss. Oh. End quote. And a little more.
Oh.
He's saying it would have been, quote, abnormal not to. That's from his point of view. I think from Kylie's point of view, it was pretty abnormal too.
Yeah.
It's my opinion. It was all when they were filming Street Fighter, it seems.
Yes, yeah, I've heard about this. Yeah.
I guess passion was high, wasn't it? Passion was high. I mean, it's a very passionate film, Street Fighter.
Yeah, it's a classic. Yeah, it really is.
Piers Morgan. He's got his own effect. You know, they'll talk about, you know, the scientists have always got a something effect.
Mm.
Like, is it the Coriolis effect where water goes the other way down a plug hole in Australia? So an effect. Piers Morgan has got his own effect.
Really? What?
Well, US boffins have called the Piers Morgan effect when big-headed people get more success than they deserve. That's some boffins did that.
Oh,
some scientists have put that together
that's
and released
the best
it.
Pieces of research you've heard for a while.
Amazing, isn't it? You gotta, you know, imagine being one of those boffins at a dinner party. What are you working on right now? The Piers Morgan effect. If you can at all avoid the Daily Star today, it's in your interest to do so. Just to let you know, there's an enormous picture of Jodie Marsh being manhandled by a giant. Ed Sheeran's got a Pingu tattoo to go with his Puss in Boots tattoo. It's very rock and roll. Elton John has mooned Michael Caine on a yacht. And Rihanna wore some shorts. That's in most of the papers.
Whoa.
Most of the papers this morning. Well, now you're in the no biz.
With your showbiz.
Yeah. XFM. Well, hello.
Hello there.
Noel Gallagher. Welcome to Dingwalls in Camden. You've just done your sound check.
Yeah. I've been here before, a long time ago.
Oh, really? What are your memories of this place?
Seeing the Corals first London gig here.
Have you ever played here before?
I don't think so. I might have got up on stage with somebody, but I don't think I've ever played.
Were you meant to get up on stage with them?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I've been to some discos here as well back in the day.
Right.
I used to live around the corner, you see. I used to live just off Camden High Street.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, when it was the centre of the universe. I was, when Camden was mega. I lived here between 93 and 96. And then I became fabulously rich.
Yeah.
Moved to Primrose Hill like everybody else.
Straight out of Camden.
With any sense. Absolutely.
Where were your hangouts in Camden?
My house. My house was a party house. Where did I used to go? The Edinburgh Castle, the Spread Eagle, and kind of any... we kind of used to maraud around here a lot. It was great. Happy days. I remember having a party once, and there's loads of people back at mine. I think some might have just got to number one.
Oh, man.
And the stragglers were leaving, and as the sun was coming up, there was... some indie type sat cross-legged on the kitchen floor and nobody knew them. We were like, they just walked in off the street. Turns out it was Feeder. Not Feeder.
Oh.
No, they were s***ing them. Anyway.
So a mixture of happy memories and memories you think you've got but you're not quite sure of here in Camden.
Yeah, that's what Camden's all about, though, isn't it? It's like Disneyland.
Yeah.
It's great.
So it's great that you're here tonight in Dingwalls and it's such an intimate thing you're about to do, just 400 people. Will that affect your approach?
No, it might make the gig longer because there'll be a lot of talked in between the songs because it's not the O2 where you can't hear what people are saying. They're shouting out stuff and you just don't know. But here, they're kind of, you know, they're right there. So there could be a lot of, you know, the usual, where's Liam, you know.
Oh, right.
You know, all that nonsense.
Is that what they shout out?
Yeah, that's what everybody shouts that out. But
imagine tonight you're going to have a different kind of crowd, you know, because these...
Really?
Yeah, I would say these aren't necessarily just, you know, the Oasis fans. Everything that's happened in the last year has turned them into pure Noel Gallagher high-fly
birds. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know what the crowd will be like. I suppose there'll be the usual Herbert singing out a tune and... You know, shouting out nonsense in between the songs.
It's good to see your heartening respect for the fans there.
I mean, they are generally 99% of them idiots. But, you know, it's the 1%.
Yeah.
That's all I think about.
You're a 1%er.
The 1%. I'm a 1%er. The other lot, really, you know, they're just at a gig, aren't they?
You can take or leave them.
These things are weird. I've done them for competition winners and they all stand there, like, too nervous to say anything because they're going to headbutt you or something like that. If they say anything, then you get...
there's the all the opposite end where they just think, well, I've never been this close, so I'm going to ask him where he gets his socks from. Do you know what I mean? It might be somewhere in between the two. I don't know. I'm expecting it to be quite rowdy, though. I don't think it'll be very respectful.
Really?
No.
You're not a man who wants respect.
But the sun's out. You know what I mean? People go mad in the sun. They'll have been drinking all day. It'll be bedlam.
Talking of which, I saw you last in Benicassim, or rather, I saw you on a stage in Benicassim.
Well, what a night that was.
What a night that was.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
You said afterwards it was, one of your favourite gigs?
It was my 100th gig as a solo artist, and...
Hope you don't mind, I thought I'd just give some backing music. I thought you were going to get quite touching there, and so I brought this up.
What is this? Is this one of mine?
To provide a nice...
Is this one of mine?
I thought you were going to go into
Hang on
like
a minute.
A
if anybody can name
thing.
This tune, I'll give them 50 quid.
Cornerstone. It sounds like it's £50 a day.
No, I couldn't verify that. It's gone off now. So, where were we? Yeah, Benicassim, yeah. It was my 100th gig as a solo artist, and it was amazing. It was like, it reminded me of an old Oasis gig. It was a lot of English people there, though.
A lot of English people.
And then there was two Spanish kids down the front with a Spanish flag.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Would you name your baby Ferret?
No.
It's a bad name for a baby,
it's
isn't
a ridiculous
it?
Name. Who's done it?
Ferret. A Ferret Dyson, that'd be a strong name.
Sounds like a vacuum cleaner, a new type of vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, Nacho? Nacho, I mean, that's justified because that's a Spanish name,
yeah,
isn't
like
it?
Yeah, there's a Mexican, there's that film about the Mexican wrestler.
Nacho Libre, exactly. What about Union Jack? You know, Union Jack.
Just Jack.
I feel bad because what I'm doing right now is essentially making fun of babies, because these are actually names that have been given in the last year to infant humans. Ferret, Arcadian, that's another nice one.
Arcadian?
Yeah, that's right, yeah, named after, of course, the famous Birmingham drinking district. There's a band, Arcadian Kicks, as well.
Oh, yes.
Kizzy Lee, that's a nice name, isn't
Kizzy
it?
Kizzy Lee.
Wilberforce is back. Wilberforce,
oh,
I don't mind that.
Classic.
Wilberforce Wallace, it's a strong name.
Sounds good.
First 18 years of his life would be hellish.
Yeah.
But then, as he learned to cope with it, make him stronger. Cassius River. That's all right.
Yes, is all right.
Princess Tiana.
Ooh. No.
Destined for a Burger King. Destined. Serendipity, well. Boo Tiger. That's another name given to a baby. Rogue. Oh.
Rogue.
That would end up being quite a wimpy kid, though, wouldn't it? You know, I've gone rogue. Coast Ocean Diesel Joe. This is my baby, Diesel Joe. I mean, that's a bit, you know, how are you going to... How would you do that to a child?
Why would you?
Diesel Joe. I mean, Dave is a good name. If it's a weird name for a baby.
What, these days?
Well, no, at any point.
Well, I was christened David.
Where's Dave? Dave the baby.
Dave.
Sounds like such a burly baby. An angry baby. Baby Dave. I don't know. Do you not think that when you think of...
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't sound like a baby, yeah.
It doesn't sound like a baby. But it... I just feels like we're not doing the show. It just feels like... I feel like I'm in a different time. I am in a different time zone.
You're jet-lagged, aren't you?
I am a little bit, yeah. In terms of other names, and this again, I mean, it's bad enough saying this is my baby, Diesel Joe, and then seeing the confusion and anger in people's eyes as they think you've did that to a baby. But imagine you're from one of these places, because a list has come out of the worst names in Britain. And Boring isn't on there, because Boring, of course, is a village that was twinned with Dull, isn't it, recently. That's not even in the top 10. In at 10, Matt, this is in Dorset, Happy Bottom. That's pretty good.
That's nice.
I wouldn't endorse it.
You wouldn't? Oh, I wouldn't endorse it. Great. Write that down in your listener hands, everyone. It's better. To be honest, it's better written down. Norfolk, great snoring. It's not a bad place.
Yeah.
Aberdeenshire's got Backside. North Yorkshire's got Crackpot. There's an ugly in Essex. In Oxfordshire, it's a place called Golden Balls.
Huh?
Can this be true?
No, it can't be true.
Is that part of a new town?
Maybe it is. Devon, Crapstone. Aberdeenshire's got Broken Wind. Dorset's got Scratchy Bottom, which I imagine is quite near Happy Bottom.
Yeah.
And at number one, the place that's topped the survey for the strangest name in Britain. And again... Please refer back to the start of the link when I said this is editorially justifiable. It's a village. It's the village, the Dorset, again, village of Shitterton.
I just
What's that?
Editorially justifiable.
That's the name of the town.
Shitterton.
It's the name of the town. So,
are you fading music up?
He's going to fade you down.
Are you fading me down? He's fading me down. Keep saying this is censorship. Don't do this to me. Think of the people of Shitterton, Dave.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Anonymous just texted in saying, Danny, could you lick Colin Farrell to see if he tastes as good as he looks? No, of course, no. Can't do that. You can't do that kind of thing. So, I mean, it would be inappropriate. Imagine, we could get work experience Steve to do it. Mm. Just really quick, just in the lift or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we could.
Really quick lick.
Because it's not very audible, so I don't know how good it is for radio just to lick someone.
Well, then he'd come in and just describe the tastes, the various tastes that are running through his palate. He's got a great palate, that kid. Kid's got a great palate. Let's get the good news in the studio. 83936 for your good news. Let us know what's making you happy. Pump some positivity out there. Matt Dyson, what's your good news?
Good news, guys.
Yes.
I hate to seem obsessed with the release of Expendables 2. It isn't quite out
now. It's The Expendables 2.
Sorry, The Expendables 2. It isn't quite out now, but it will be in just over an hour.
A bit later on.
The good news for those of you itching for an action hero fix is the earliest screening of the film in London today is at 9:20.
9:20?
The View Cinema in Islington.
The View in Islington?
Yeah, the one just upstairs from Islington Academy.
How many people are going to be going at 9:20
in the morning? I don't know. Who goes to the cinema then?
I mean, of course, for The Expendables 2, you would.
Yes.
But I mean, generally.
So it will be out at 20 past 9, although there'll probably be at least 20 minutes of ads and trailers, so it won't officially be out until about 9:40.
So what's the official...
The out time is 9:40.
Okay, do check your local listings. Good news, guys. Since Dave mentioned off-air earlier that last night he enjoyed battered sausage with chips and curry sauce, all I've been able to think about is how I'd quite like battered sausage with chips and curry sauce. So tonight, I think I'm going to have battered sausage with chips and curry sauce. An interesting aside. Dave mentions that the place where he buys his curry sauce does, quote, really nice curry sauce.
Ooh.
Just talk us through that, because your palate is not as good as Steve's.
Not as well trained as Steve's, no.
Rich, fruity.
Slightly fruity. It's more. It's
we're just to be clear, we're not talking about Steve here. We are talking about the curry sauce. So what makes it good?
Yeah, it's the consistency more than anything, Danny. Because too often than not in London, I find that they have a powder of a curry sauce.
God, you're
absolutely
right.
They'll then boil water, and then all you're really getting is just curry tasting water.
Yeah. Yes.
Whereas what they're doing here is they're making it properly. It's the substance of it, and it's great.
I wish I'd never asked. Literally, I wish I'd never asked about that.
You can't get proper gravy down here either, can
no.
you? You just can't get it.
I wish we just talked like this the whole time.
We are.
I bring good news. Part 2 of my chat with Noel Gallagher. Including a risk. Took a risk, didn't I? You always got to take a bit of a risk with Noel. And I asked him a question about Sunday night and the closing ceremony. We'll get to that and have another fantastic live recording from last night in aid of War Child. Here's part 2.
XFM.
And you're doing arenas coming up. Was that always part of the plan? You don't strike me as a man... Well, I was going to say you don't strike me as a man who would be easily surprised by success.
I'm not surprised that I'm playing arenas so... Because part of you is thinks, well, this really shouldn't be happening at this point. Part of you is big-headed enough to think, well, of course it should, because I'm f***ing doing. What can I say? Whatever I'm selling, the kids are buying, so, you know, and long may it continue. But arenas are a bit weird for me. I my first one was in Manchester whatever it's called these days. I don't know what it's called, the big arena.
Yeah.
And I suddenly felt kind of dwarfed by it. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm not Mick Jagger. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know how to do that thing that front men do.
Right.
And
you need a strut.
I do need a strut. Yeah, I haven't got one because I've kind of got my guitar, haven't I? And that's plugged into an amp, so I can only strut so far.
Yeah.
And
it's in a perfect circle.
I've got to be near the mic. I'm really only there to pick up the money.
Is that right?
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong, kids, listen to this. That was sarcasm. It's like,
there's an element.
Yeah,
there's
that. There.
And there is, everything that happened the week. Can I ask you the question or not?
What question?
Well, it's what do you think the question might be?
Is it true that you are actually a sex marathon expert?
That's the question. That's the question.
That's what your wife has just put up on Facebook.
Did she?
No.
Oh, right.
No. I'm a sex sprinter.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Very quickly.
Oh, yeah. Usain Bolt's got an out on me, mate.
8 seconds.
In that department. Let
World
me
record.
You. They don't call me Lightning Bolt for nothing. That, by the way, if anybody's listening for the Daily Star, is also a joke.
The question I was going to ask you was, weirdly, Olympics-based, and it was about Sunday night and the closing ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
Was this something you were aware was going to happen?
Yeah, I was asked to do it a long time ago, and to be frank, they were being so secretive about it. You know, I was like, well, who else is playing? We can't tell you. You've got to sign a confidentiality agreement. It's like it's the Iran nuclear program or something. I'm like, what do these people think is going to happen? ITV are going to get hold of it and put on a gig the night before with the same bill. Do you know what I mean? And then they wanted me to do it acoustically, and then wanted me to mime. And I'm all for miming in TV shows. I love that. I wish I could mime on Jules Holland. It would save me a lot of f***ing about, I got to say. But if you're in a stadium with 80,000 people and you're pretending, you should. I can play live. One of the organisers said to me, so why do you want me to mime? And he said, it's a big gig. And I was like, really? I do this for a f***ing living. You can beep all this, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And,
can I do one? Yeah. What a
What a And in the end, I've only had a few days off, and it was like, they wanted to go and re-record the song, then 14 days rehearsals, and in the end, I was just like, you know what? I'd rather watch it on the telly. But then Liam's lot stepped in and did it, and there you go. You know.
And did you have to sign off on that? Or?
I did have to. Well, they had to re-record it and then send it to me. I did play a bit of Cat and Mouse for a few days. I took it to Friday night at 10 o'clock before I said yes on it. They were in it.
Really?
Yeah, not PDI, like the organisers, because I had to say yeah, and I was like, it's all right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this new string arrangement. You know, and they were like, I made the gigs on Sunday. And I was like, okay, all right, you can have it then. But, yeah, I knew it was happening.
Yeah.
I knew it was happening.
Well, listen, have a great gig tonight.
Yes,
I
will indeed.
I can't wait.
It's going to be good.
Well, thank you very, very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Good to see
you. Do be Paul, that, won't you?
No way. We
are XFM.
An appeal has been launched for a pair of pyjamas for a horse.
Oh.
This horse needs pyjamas, Matt.
Right. Why would a horse need pyjamas?
This sounds like an Edwardian double act. My horse needs pyjamas. Tell me, why would a horse need pyjamas?
Let's bring back Music Hall.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, the horse is called Gracie May. And that's not the why she needs pyjamas. Mm. But she's very itchy. Very itchy.
Okay.
Little midges. Little midge bites. They love a horse, don't they? And normally, I suppose, horses use their tails, don't they, to sort of...
Waft them away.
Not this girl, very lazy. So her own owners at Horse World... That sounds like a great place to go, isn't it? In Whitchurch.
What a theme park.
They're appealing for a sponsor or a skilled machinist who could fund or make this horse a much-needed pyjama suit. Somehow this has made the papers.
Anti-midgy pyjamas.
Yeah, this is a story that's made the papers. Just some people want some pyjamas for a horse. It's not as big as the news story I brought you earlier about the village with the unusual name.
No.
What was the name of that village again, Dave?
I can't remember, actually.
Oh, I can.
No,
I
you can
remember. I want you to say it, though. It's editorially justifiable. It's just a village. Imagine being from that village, man.
No, imagine saying that as your address on the phone.
Oh, on the phone, or you're abroad, you're in America or someone like that. Hey, where are you from? Well, I'm from the village. No. Okay. Or if you're complaining on the phone, right, to someone, like a call centre, and that you're angry about something, and you're really making your point, quite vociferous in your indignation, and they go, well, all right, I'll take your address. What's your address? Well, it's 14 Acacia Avenue. Yeah, go on. Well, I don't want to say where I'm from, because it undermines entirely my rage. Should I say it one more time? Can I say it more?
I think you've said it like 6 times now, so I think
lucky
we've done it
seven.
Enough.
Lucky number
no,
seven?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think it's editorially justifiable anymore.
To keep saying it.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll play it for... we'll play some Blur for the people of that village. Of course, the village of...
The XFM Breakfast Show. With Danny Wallace.
XFM. Someone listening in Buenos Aires, hello to you. Probably tuning in for Noel Gallagher. He was great last night. For goodness sakes. I mean, we were right there, weren't we, Dave?
We were.
Right there, he played Spaceman
Do you want to be a spaceman?
Yes, he did.
I looked around at you. I got a great picture of you, Dave.
Have you?
Just nostalgia all over your little face.
That's what I felt like for pretty much the whole gig.
It's great, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then a track that he's never played before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I haven't heard since I was about 17, so that was brilliant, called Angel Child.
Angel Child, exactly. All those things and many more. A marvellous moment that you missed, Matt, was after the interview with Noel Gallagher. You know, this is a guy, an icon, that means a lot to Baby Dave here, right? A heck of a lot. And I wanted to know, I was thinking, oh, should I get Dave to have a picture with Noel? But kind of everyone wants a bit of Noel, and he's doing all this stuff, and he's signing things as well. But Dave, being a real professional, you know, a proper producer, just left it, took a stand back and just thought, I'll go for the handshake, that's what I'll do. And so he went for the handshake, full extended, but quite a show of it. Sort of a half a step forward,
it was.
Arms straight out. Yeah. And doing that thing as well of a very professional voice, just kind of going, thanks a lot, mate, thanks. And that's what Dave did. But Noel didn't see. And just moved away. Just moved away, just walked, and Dave didn't know when to put his hand down, and Dave just looked at me and saw that I'd seen, and then just went, well, you'll be talking about that on the show tomorrow.
That's amazing, and they've got previous as well, because you previously blurted out something to Noel when you met him before.
Yeah, what was that?
He just said, thank you.
thank you for the music. No,
well, that's what it sounds
it's
like.
It's become thank you for the music, which is the story everyone tells.
FM. Currently struggling with his headphones, Rufus Hound is here.
That's right, it's me.
Hi, Rufus.
I said, look, and it's on the radio. Oh, I'm a one.
Oh, you're such a wally. You're a fool to yourself.
I'm a right div.
Sometimes I wonder if you'll ever learn.
I don't think I ever will. I'm literally mental.
Let's hope that's not true. Rufus, welcome to the XFM Breakfast Show.
It's great a delight to be here.
Great pleasure to see you. It's quite early, isn't it? Quite early for a man.
Surprisingly so.
Do you ever normally get up around this time?
Well, I've got two small children, up for a while.
Yes, but, absolutely.
But frankly, the smell of urine is normally overpowering. So I'm just glad to have caught you on a day when it isn't, Daniel.
Yeah, then you go.
That was another joke!
Hey!
It was another little pullback and reveal.
It was, wasn't it?
I threw you one way, I went the other.
I nearly missed
literally
it.
Literally mental.
I'm pleased you pointed it out.
Literally mental.
Is it? I've never had a bonkers guest as bonkers as this.
I'm so ruddy bonkers.
Is this whack-a-day? What's happening here? Rufus, welcome along. As I say, fantastic comedian. We know you as a fantastic comedian. You've decided to do a bit of a life shift, a gear change, a different gear.
That's right.
And that gear is the world of acting.
The world of becoming others for financial gain.
You did a run at the Soho Theatre.
I did.
Suddenly, boom, straight into films. That's what's been happening.
That's what happened.
You were in a film before with Ricky Grover, weren't you?
I did, called Big Fat Gypsy Gangster.
Absolutely. And this is, I guess, your second film, this new one.
Yes, that's right.
It's called The Wedding Video.
It is.
It's out on the 17th of August.
That's this Friday.
You know it's a good film if it opens on a Friday.
Yep.
So, tell me about it.
Well, it's about a bloke who is off travelling around the world.
Yeah.
When his brother rings, and his brother, in this case, played by the delicious Robert Webb.
Robert Webb.
You know, off the Peep Show and that.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's what his business card says.
And he says, I'm getting married. Would you come home and be my best man?
Yeah.
My character, being a slightly overweight chancer who doesn't take life too seriously, buys a cheap...
When does the acting come in?
No, this is it. I think some people like to take a route where they kind of do a lot of background work and other people just are them saying different words. And that's where I'm going.
I'm sure it's true. I've watched the trailer. It looks very, very, very funny.
Well, it is very funny. It's the one thing I would really say about it is I've never been proud of being British.
Oh, right. So, more from Rufus a bit later on. Was there more to that?
There was a smidge more.
Okay, all right.
But the last couple of weeks is just really, the Danny Boyle opening ceremony, where you've got Mary Poppins fighting Voldemort, was the first time that I went, that's the country I'm from.
Yeah, we're from
the... Not the old, didn't we used to have a beautiful empire?
Yeah.
The bit where, you know, Rowan Atkinson imagines he's in Chariots of Fire.
Yes.
That is my Britain.
That's your Britain. That's what's happening.
And...
What's that got to do with the film?
Well, because there is, if there's one thing...
Do you
thing,
just go off on some... Just, you are bonkers.
I'm literally mental. No, but the thing that I think is our one defining characteristic as a nation is our sense of humour.
Yes.
And this is a proper British movie with a proper British sense of humour.
XFM. Let me show you my business. I'm Danny Wallace. This is none of my business. Is that, can I say that one? This is none of my business. Business matters.
This is no business, like show business.
Well, that's just the phrase, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's just the phrase. You just said the phrase.
Yeah.
It's the showbiz update, everyone. I go through the papers and distill the important stories. So you remember yesterday, Matthew, Rihanna was pictured in some shorts. Remember that big story?
Oh, yeah. Who'd have thought?
WTF.
Exactly. Well, today is the turn of Molly from the Saturdays. Now, the Star covers this from both the front and the back angles. Pink shorts, looking loosely tied, thin brown belt. And she's matched that with a tucked-in short-sleeved shirt.
You are kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. This is what's happened here. Usually spotted, you know, those kind of I Spy stuff that are terrible. It's just like person near a thing. That's all that's happening. Person spotted near a thing. Not today. Sylvester Stallone spotted chatting to, quote, a strange-looking man in the Savoy Hotel. A strange-looking man. He's like a warlock or something, or a wizard.
Let me write this down.
Dude, please feel free.
Perhaps.
Could have been Lundgren. Callum Best was also spotted in a bar in Piccadilly, where he fell off a high bar stool.
Megalos.
Melanie Sykes finally engaged to the roofer she met on Twitter 3 months ago. It's fine, isn't it? I think it's the right move.
Yeah, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I think it's the right move for those two.
Mm.
It's about time they settled down. 3 months, Twitter. I don't see any problems there.
Yeah, they've gone about it in the right way.
It's a fairy tale there. It's a fairy tale ending, I think.
Apparently this is unbelievable.
Well, it's true.
He's loaded with spec, that guy, so...
He's loaded with spec?
Yeah, yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, like, he's like a car, you know. It's just good.
What?
Melanie Sykes.
Loaded with spec. Please don't refer to on-air advertising. Remember I told you a few weeks ago that the Mirror had uncovered that Robbie Williams has been going to the gym? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It should be in your listener pads, everyone. Well, as a follow-up story... And he's been concentrating largely recently on his biceps.
You are kidding me.
I'm not. And he's having a baby, Sue, with his wife, Ada. And the Mirror sensitively finished their story this morning by saying, quote, let's hope it's not a real bloater.
Nose.
It's never too early, is it, for the newspapers to begin working on weight issues,
people's
weight
judgments. Self-image. Yeah. Already bringing them down.
That is
outrageous.
Not even born.
Burn it.
I mean, it's fair enough. The journalists who write them are notoriously fit and lithe, aren't they?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Real health freaks.
Yeah.
Gym nuts, all of them. And Shane Warne is reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Pinch me.
I will not. It's just nice to see him reading, isn't it? It's just nice to see him reading.
Yeah.
Gradually he'll work his way up to the Beano or something. XFM. Let's get your good news. Well, you're happy, aren't you? Very happy. It's good to know. It's good to see. And Matthew Dyson, why are people happy this morning?
Well, here's some genuinely good news, guys.
Good.
After being inspired by the literary works of Danny Wallace, yes, you, and Neil Strauss, I began to work on fulfilling my dream to be a scriptwriter.
Oh.
This week, I've been handed a job by a production company to write my script full-time for a daily show to be broadcast on an international Asian TV network from Kellen Goffsoak.
Kellen Goffsoak! That was late-breaking. Instantly in. Yeah. Good news.
That's
good work.
That's quite an odd combination, though, isn't it? You and Neil Strauss. Didn't he write The Game?
That's about, right. What are you saying?
Nothing, actually.
What are you saying? He wrote the book, the international bestseller about the art of seduction.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you saying?
No,
why is that an odd, combination?
Well,
no, let's get to the numbers. Why is that an odd combination? The ability to talk to girls. Why do you think, oh, that's weird?
I just wouldn't put you two...
Strange.
I just wouldn't...
Why not? What is it about me that you do not find seductive?
I mean, I'm constantly seduced by you, Danny, but...
Look, I'm just resting my hand there.
Yeah.
Good news, guys. and to appear in the new series of Dragon's Den.
Wow.
Ooh. The pitch. Fed up with being late for meetings, weddings and bar mitzvahs because you couldn't find your driving glasses. Well, problem solved. With prescription windscreens. Nice. That's good. I'm always late for bar mitzvahs because I can't find my driving glasses. Good news, guys. My data allowance renews tomorrow so I can listen to XFM London on my phone, on the bus, in the northwest. Excellent work. What else is going on, Matt?
Good news, guys, from Anon.
That doesn't seem... seduction? It doesn't seem like that's an odd bedfellow for me.
No, it just...
Do you see how I dropped in the word bedfellow?
Yeah, nice.
Seductive.
It's quite... It's just that you don't strike me as...
Go on.
As...
Go on.
Someone who would have quite the same...
Go on. What were you going to say? Success rate?
No. I'm sure you're very successful.
I'm married. How dare you suggest that I'm walking around seducing people?
Just your techniques, I'd imagine they're not...
Go on, what are my techniques? What are my techniques?
Unlucky in love. Is that what
are you saying? Well, I'm some kind of loser. Is that what you're saying? What are you saying,
wow.
Dave?
I don't know anymore.
What else is going on, Matt?
I want more.
Come on. What do you think my techniques are?
Well, no, from reading Neil Strauss's book, I know what... I know.
Why were you reading a book on seduction? Why were you reading that book?
It's a very interesting book, actually.
So, but, 50 Shades of Grey next to The Game.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are your only two books.
I'm just saying, the techniques he uses, I'm not too sure you would employ to...
Such as?
attract the female.
Why? What? Why? Go on. What are you getting
at? Let's go back to the good news.
I don't know what he's getting.
Let's go back to the good news.
Is he saying you're a prude?
I don't know what he's saying. Andy, what is your good news?
Good news, guys. Yeah. Today's my last day working with Frothy Chops for at least a few months.
Good. I don't know who Frothy Chops is.
No.
So let's cross live to Andy. Are you still there?
Yeah, hi,
Danny. Hi, buddy. Who is Frothy Chops? Why are their chops so frothy? And why are you looking forward to not working with the aforementioned Frothy Chops?
It's an old guy I have to work with sometimes at work. It's a combination of drinking too many cappuccinos and accumulation of spittle in the corners of the mouth by the end of the day.
Wow! So he's working the twin worlds of froth there. Not only does he enjoy frothy coffee, but he accumulates his own spittle in the corners of his mouth. How long have you noticed Frothy Chops' frothy chops?
It's been an ongoing thing for a while now, but like I said, luckily today's the last day for a few months unless I put up with it. So not too bad.
Good, I'm pleased. Well, that's not good news, Andy, is it?
That's great news.
And as a final aside, Andy, what do you think my techniques for seducing women are?
I don't know if I'd like to judge on that one, Daddy.
Oh, right, I see. I thought he was going to go, I don't know, but I'd love to find out. It was getting it was straight in there.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
We welcome Rufus Howe. Hey, Rufus.
Yeah!
Oh, man, you look excited.
That music is... That's almost up there with the BBC Olympics music.
You're talking about this music bed that's introduced.
The bed that you're currently playing beneath me.
This is what we call the hound bed. That's what we call. We developed it. We had musicians in last night, didn't we?
Ladies, XFM, why doesn't somebody come down and lie in the hound bed?
That's nice.
I suddenly feel like I might be on American radio.
A little disturbing. That was a little disturbing. He was looking at me. Oh, man. Turn the bed off. Don't do that again. Back up. So, the wedding video.
Great fun.
The wedding video is out on Friday. And we were talking about how you've gone more into acting. Have you turned your back on stand-up or will you still do stand-up?
I've killed it like a ginger stepchild.
Have you, though?
No.
With apologies. Go on.
As a ginger myself, I... Well,
it was more the waist down. It was more the murder element I was going for.
Really?
Yeah, that's... You know, the important thing is not to dwell on
I
it.
I can't believe if you listen to XFM that you're genuinely offended by that.
I'm just...
And if you are, listen to Heart. Can we say that?
Yeah, we can, absolutely. They're part of the family.
Yeah.
Jamie and Harry on in the morning.
Beautiful.
Welcome alternative.
Go get yourself a bit of George Michael, you limp-wristed.
That's enough now.
Whoa.
So the wedding video is out on Friday. Have you turned your back on stand-up or not?
No.
No.
But yes.
But
the thing is, I'm doing this play. I'm doing the one-man, two-governors thing.
Yeah, fantastic.
And so that takes me through to February.
Wow, okay.
So one man two, it's not like I can suddenly kind of fit in a bit of jokes around that.
You're right, but you'll be going up and down the country with one man, two governors. What a gift to get.
Up the country.
Up the country, not down.
Not down. I think the principle
never
is
go back.
That if you can get to London, see it at Haymarket.
Ah, okay.
Owain is magnificent in it. But for the people who don't want to come to the capital,
right,
I'm taking it to them.
Excellent work. And it quite
think of myself as the mountain.
Okay. Quite an intimidating role, though, isn't it? In some sense, because it has been
made so
famous.
James Corden won a Tony for it, and is
pretty
basically
much
the embodiment of the character.
Yeah.
And some chancer with a moustache just pitching up and going, I can learn those words, might backfire, Danny. What are you getting at?
It won't backfire, I'm just saying an intimidating role to take on, a brave one.
That's very kind
of you. I've made it into a compliment.
What is the line between bravery and stupidity?
I think it's right here, isn't it?
Hello.
It's going to be, so have you started rehearsals?
In mid-September, and then the tour starts mid-October.
Mid-October.
But do you know, the weird thing is, having felt like I would have a bit of a rest from stand-up, I was doing the Comedy Store last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I walked off stage thinking, well, that's me done then, you know, and
oh,
a
right.
bit of a weird moment in my life.
Oh, wow.
And backstage, literally out of nowhere, was Eddie Izzard, who had been one of my total comedy heroes. And
yeah.
I walked up and went, God, it's really weird you're here, because you were one of the people that made me want to be a stand-up. Tonight is my last stand-up, and I'm walking away from it. And he went, oh, you can't do that. No, you can't. Everybody should be keeping doing stand-up. The worst thing you could do is stop. So
wow.
Literally, at the point I finally felt like I'd crossed some kind of finish line,
yeah.
he picked me up, dusted me up and went, more marathons to do, old son.
It sounds a bit like Obi-Wan Kenobi or someone
it
like that.
It genuinely felt like that.
It's kind of ghostly figure.
Yeah.
Wow, so you're back.
Although
on
I should point out, he looks in the very best of health.
Good. Just clearing that
yeah.
up. So the wedding video, out on Friday. We
this Friday.
You, go and see it.
It's a lovely film, and if you take a girlfriend, I think good things will happen to you that night.
You're mainly aiming it at boys, then?
Well, I'm saying that it's a sort of look at the wedding thing, which I think a lot of people would go, oh, that's just a movie for girls.
Ah.
But because it's about a bloke making a video, and that is a bloke,
yeah.
it's not a particularly sort of girls' point of view on weddings. It's a bit more blokey than that.
Also, we see your bottom in it, don't we?
You lucky la... Welcome to the hound bed!
XFS! Still pretty, I don't know. Just had the wind taken out my sails a bit by Dave this morning. With the whole the game thing. I just don't understand.
No, I just don't see you and Neil Strauss,
yeah.
who wrote the game,
right.
to be very close in terms of maybe not writing, but maybe your styles in approaching the opposite sex.
I see.
That's what
so what would you say my... Well, why?
Well,
what's his style? What's
I
his,
don't think you
what's he doing that I'm not?
I don't think you would peacock, for instance, which is where
I'm
you...
sorry.
Which is where you dress up in flamboyant and elaborate clothing to get the
Matt,
attention
describe
the
what I'm wearing
sex.
Right now. Describe what I'm wearing right
only
now.
There's two words, flamboyant and elaborate.
Thank you. Yes, next.
I just don't see you as a PUA.
Well, I don't even know what that...
It's a pickup artist. I don't see you as a pickup artist, which is what he was famous for. I'm sure you're very, you know, I'm sure you're very popular
skilled.
With the opposite sex.
Skilled.
But,
they
yeah.
call me skill set.
I'm sure you don't neg women. I'm sure you don't have openers for when you actually go up and approach women.
How
it's
do you
like
know
that.
All this? How do? Why is this all? In the, why is? Why are you able to say these things? What? How did the words get in there? How do you know this?
Well, I've read it
What's
a couple of times.
A couple of times.
Well, once or once.
We are XFM.
So 4 hours of very important broadcasting, but what have we learned today? just Matt today. He's twiddling a balloon, and before he's like licking honey, it's like he thinks it's someone's birthday. What's going on? He's learned nothing today. Dave Masterman is going to tell us what he learned today.
Yes, while Danny has never looked so offended, I questioned his socialising skills with
yes.
the opposite sex.
Goodness me.
This came after someone compared our host to Neil Strauss, author of The Game. It turns out Danny doesn't actually know what peacocking is.
No.
Didn't know what a PUA was,
don't
which
need
is,
one.
Of course, a pickup artist.
Yes.
And you've never negged a woman in your life, have you, Danny?
Not a neg person.
Braces, swings, dog leads and bungee ropes. All suggestions for what we could do with 36 inches of ginger hair.
Yeah.
Although we weren't too sure about the bungee jumping, because that was a crazy idea from Matt Dyson.
It's dangerous.
And off-air, aside from making a bit more sense than he did on-air, A-list movie star Colin Farrell was full of praise for both Matt and Danny's weird and wonderful pitches for his next career move.
Yes.
In Snap My Pitch Up.
That's true.
All of this plus Matt Dyson's... It's hard, this analytics.
Yeah, yeah.
All of this plus Matt Dyson's constant reminders that The Expendables 2 isn't out now, but a little later on today. Yeah. Rather pedantic, but there you go. In fact, pretty much this very second,
just now,
first showing of The Expendables 2 is starting
in The View Islington.
Yeah,
good luck with that, everybody. Thanks very much indeed, Dave. And what I liked about that was you explained a lot of the things that were going on, because the thing I learned this morning was well, Dave said I should explain it all because, quote, people won't have heard a lot of this. What a way to buoy up your presenter.
We are
Matt, just Ozzy on security, his dad.
Yeah, absolutely. Three more things.
Our great boss, Ashley Table, his father.
Absolutely,
He's probably,
two more.
Who else is dad? You know...
just going for dads.
I'm sticking with it.
You just need two more.
It's working.
Two more.
Noel Gallagher's dad?
Yes, and another one, last one.
Liam Gallagher's dad. It's the same person.
that's absolutely fine. Join us for podcast number 57 next week. Matt, name me 57 things that have got to 57.
Okay. Mark Owen from Take That, his mum.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton's mum.
Yeah.
Cheryl Cole's mum.
Yep!
Ronan Keating's mum.
Yes! Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.